Jesus for me. He is our peace. Hallelujah. Cast all your cares. So cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He is our peace. Hallelujah. Give my hand clap this morning. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. You love Him. We are indeed blessed to have our brother Timothy Ishong with us this morning. And we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And we're going to pull in the gift. Is that right? And God is going to speak to us, and we're going to give Him thanks for it, and we're going to leave differently than we came. Every service that we come to should bring a change in our lives. We know the effects that the world has on people, every opportunity, every experience that people in the world have with the world brings a change as well. So we're looking for one last and final change one of these days, but it's a series of changes until that last final change. Just a couple of quick announcements before we change the order of the service this morning. First of all, we will have service next Sunday morning. It's Christmas Eve, I understand, but I see no reason to cancel the service because, I mean, if anything, we ought to have a service. This time of the year, and Brother Branham talks about he says we don't celebrate Christmas, he says we worship Him, right? We worship Him. So, and of course, spending time together and sharing little tokens of our love for one another, there's certainly nothing wrong with that, and we certainly we realize that He wasn't born in December. We realize that how paganism was brought into the church, and pagans were brought into the church with their gods, and they worshiped the sun god on December 25th, and so they replaced the sun god with the Son of God for the pagans. But we're not pagans, and it really doesn't matter to us when He was born, right? We actually we're pleased that the world pauses for a moment to recognize that God sent the greatest of all gifts, right, for mankind. So so we're thankful for the opportunity this time of the year to, as it should be all year long, but if people will stop long enough to reflect and to think on these things, and if our light is shining, you never know what soul is going to be affected or touched, and that is certainly our desire, is for God's gift to find its place. Amen? Amen. So we will have service next Sunday morning. We won't be having service next Sunday evening, and I realize that several will be traveling to be with family members, but for those of us that are here, we'll have service. Also, just a quick announcement and reminder regarding end-of-year tithes and donations. Our brother Henry is so faithful, and he's been serving as our treasurer for many, many years. It's an uncompensated position, so he's doing it out of love and his generosity, his free will to be a blessing to the rest of the body. Unfortunately, each year there seems to be a little confusion, and Brother Henry seems to be the one to take the brunt of it, and so I'm hoping to bypass that this year by telling you that if you are looking to have donations and or tithes recorded as being given this year, then you need to give them this year. And if you wait till December 31st, which is the last day of the year, we'll just go ahead and tell you right now that will not be recorded until next year because Brother Henry's not going to be able to go to the bank and make the deposit. We've had people that have really had an issue with that, and we've had some that wait until December 31st to pay their tithes, and then they want to get credit for it. We trust that it's not an issue with any of you, but we're just asking for your understanding. So once again, if you're looking to have a tithe or a donation recorded for this year, then please do it before New Year's Eve, December 31st. So along those lines, we will be having a service on a watch night service on the 31st, and our brother David Gadman's going to be with us, and we'll have that service on at 8:30 on Sunday night, and so we're looking forward to that as well. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, come, let us adore him. As our brother Timothy prepares to come. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, adore him. Oh, come. Excuse me. Christ the Lord will give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. And we'll praise his name. Forever. Yes, we'll praise his name. Forever. We'll praise his name. Forever. Christ the Lord. Once again, oh come, let us adore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Nobody could say that this morning. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. How many can say that this morning? I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. Have your way this morning, Lord. Have your way. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. And so I lift my hand. And I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. One more time with all your heart. Have your way this morning, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way this morning, Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I lift my hands and I bow my knees.
We really need him. For without him, we can do nothing. Let that be really the cry from the depths of our hearts. That Lord, we need thee. Especially in times like this. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, humbly, we come to you this morning. We come to thank you for the price that you paid on our behalf, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the redemption of our souls. We are so grateful unto you that you did all this for us, and your grace has brought us this far. This morning we say, Father, we need you more than ever before. In these difficult times and days in which we are living, we need you so much, Lord. There's so many challenges, so many trials, so many things that we cannot understand. But we know when you are there with us, we'll go through by your grace. So be with us this morning. Forgive us of all our shortcomings and all that is not pleasing in your sight. And may the blessed Holy Spirit come and minister unto every need that is represented here. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, from the pulpit to the pew, may none of us ever live here the same. May we be made better, Lord, than we came in. Lord, may you step us out of the way. So that, Lord, you will speak through us. You will hear through us. You will believe through us. And that you will work your works through us. And we pray that wherever your sons and daughters might be gathered this morning, may you remember your own. We want to pray for Israel. Remember Israel in these difficult times they are in. And may you fight for Israel. And protect all the innocent ones in that region. Be with us and be with Israel. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. Let's shake hands with somebody and say, God bless you. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Cool. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody. Don't you come on? Feel free. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Feel free. Praise the Lord. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. We have liberty. Say, God bless you. Brother Branham said, that's the greatest thing that you can say to anybody, right, is God bless you. Amen. So God bless every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here. And I thank our pastor for giving me the right hand of fellowship and giving me the pulpit this morning to share fellowship with the saints. We are thankful to the Lord for bringing us this far. And we'd like to open to the book of Genesis chapter 32 and also read from Revelation. I would do that. Bring greetings to you from my wife and my children and the pastor, my pastor, and the brethren over there in West Africa. And I've been to some few places in the U.S. and they asked me to extend their greetings to the believers. I was also in Canada. The brothers asked me to greet the church. So we want to read from the book of Genesis chapter 32. Let's read from verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Amen. Let's read from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Shall we please be seated? Praise the name of the Lord. We are once again very grateful to the Almighty God for giving us this opportunity to come back to his house. And I'm very grateful again to the Almighty God for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk this morning. Last year by this time, I was very sick. I had surgery and prostate surgery and with cancer, and it was very tough. It was very difficult. But I'm grateful that the Lord Almighty has brought me through. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. By this time last year, I wasn't even able to walk. After the surgery, and I thank you for your prayers, because I knew you were praying for me. Thank our pastor, Brother Doug. And the surgery was done on the 14th of November. And then after the 14th, it was done. 10 days later, I have to go to the hospital again to do the cystogram, just the, like X-ray, something to check and see if the stitches or whatever was stitched inside was healed. Because I was wearing the catheter. In fact, I have to wear catheter for 9 months. And so when I went, I did that examination, and they said, oh, no, it's not all completely healed. So you have to come back in another 10 days. So after 10 days, okay, about 2 weeks, I went back. And there, the problem started. We went to the hospital. I went with my wife, and I was put on the table like this so that they can do the cystogram, make the examination. And then all of a sudden, I started shaking. I see somebody was just shaking the table. So the doctor said, what is happening? I said, I don't know. And I didn't know what happened again. I only saw myself in the emergency room. And I have to stay in the emergency room for 6 days. When the surgery was done, they did it today. The next day, I was discharged. And this day, I have to stay in the emergency for 6 days. They said it was a blood infection. They call it E. coli, whatever they call. And then they have to be battling to find out what antibiotics, whatever they can. Oh, it was tough there. But the Lord brought me through. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God again that, you know, God is always mindful. We left the house. I was fine. To the hospital to do this cystogram. And at this time, only myself and my wife were just at home. The family we are staying with, that was my sister and the son. At that time, they've traveled to Africa. They went back home. So just the two of us were at home. So if I had this challenge, if I had it at home, it would have been very difficult. Because we would not have known. In fact, I was helpless. I couldn't do anything. So my wife would not have even known what to do. And if to call anybody, the closest friend or brother that we could fall upon was 45 minutes away drive. So there again, I said to the devil, I said, you miss it again. I said, Satan, you miss this one too. And during this time, All that I was comforting myself with, the prophet of God said, until God has finished with you, nothing can take you from here. And I believe this strongly with all my heart. I remember when I went to the hospital and the doctor back home, and the doctor told me, oh, the prostate had become so big, and it's too big. He said it's just too big, and it has blocked the urinary. So, and also, after examination, there is cancer in one spot. But even he said, that cancer, it seems God just confined it in one little spot. And so, when he said that, the only thing that came to me, do you fear cancer? Because the prophet preached a message like that. And the prophet taught us that there is no virtue in fear. So when that thought came to me, I held on to that. Praise the name of the Lord. When I went to the hospital again the second time to do this thing, and this problem came in, I was shaking and things. They took me to the emergency. I stayed there for 6 days. After I was discharged and came home, if I sat down, I could not get up. Somebody, they have to pull me. If I laid on the bed, I could not get up. They have to pull me. Until finally, I could not even walk. I have to use the walker frame to be walking. But praise be to God. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Today I'm walking. Amen. I could not raise my leg from here to here. They have to lift me up. It was difficult. If I sat in the car, they have to raise my leg and put it in here and there. But by the grace of Almighty God, I can not only walk, I can run. Yeah. Hallelujah. God is good. And God is more than able. And He's still in the business. So keep trusting the Lord. Amen. After 9 months, the daughter, when I went back again after another time to do the cystogram again, the doctor and the nurse that I met, they were the same people that I met the other day. So when I got there, they said, oh, you are here today. So you're a Christian? I said, yes. He said, today we'll pray with you. Everything will be fine. I said, wow, this is America. You don't, whatever, even people, they try to hide whatever. But he said, no, we'll pray with you. And they prayed with me. God is good. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. God is mindful of us. And as the prophet said, until God has finished with us, nothing can take us out of here. After this, all this, they have to take the catheter. The doctor told me, he said, look, you've worn this thing for 9 months. So when it is taken off, there will be dripping. He said, but it will stop, don't worry. Meanwhile, when I was leaving Ghana, the doctor I was seeing over there, he told me, you know, people go to Europe, America, they do these things and they come back and they will be, all the rest of their lives, they will be wearing pampers, dripping. So when the catheter was taken away, I have to wear pampers. And it was soaked. Big baby boy. Oh, God is good. I say, our God is good. Amen. When God does something for us, He wants us to testify. If you don't testify, God is not happy. The prophet said, you backslide. Whatever God does for us, He wants us to testify. Say it and testify and let others know that God is still God. You don't know what it means. Maybe we breathe freely, we move freely, but people are paying money. People have to be put on the oxygen, under oxygen tent. People have to go and see the whatever doctors and chiropractors and different physicians to help them. But God has been good to us. So we shouldn't take these things for granted. Praise the name of the Lord. But today, by the grace of God, I wear no pampers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, may the Lord help us. No matter what challenges we face, have faith in God. So I am standing here this morning because God knew I would be here. So He spared my life. That I would be here to testify. Because I said to God, I said, Lord, wherever I will be, I will testify. And I said to the devil, I said, Satan, you are in trouble because I will not keep quiet. I will testify to your shame and I will testify to the glory of God. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Brother Doug, they all contributed to pay for the surgery. So, thank you all for your prayers. And we thank God for His faithfulness. And I'm here this morning. So when you see me, it's by the grace of God. And the devil thought he would put me off, send me to early retirement. But the Lord said, no, you still got a work to do. So I'm still on my feet by His grace. Hallelujah. So we are very grateful to the Almighty God. When I got back home, the pastor called me, resurrected Timothy. Yeah, because it was very bad. But God is always good. So keep on trusting the Lord. Amen. Just to encourage ourselves this morning, from the scripture that we have read, just to encourage ourselves, I want us to speak on, you can prevail. You can prevail. And I'm reading another scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 50. He says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Amen. So David prevailed over the Philistine. And you can also prevail. And to prevail, you have to wrestle. You have to wrestle. So, brethren, we are not on picnic. Each and every one of us, we are in a battle. As the prophet of God told us, Christianity is a battle from the day you began to the day you leave out of here. He said it is not a picnic. So we are not in a picnic. We are in a battle. So He told us you have to prepare against your enemy.
Because you are going to meet him along the way. If you don't meet him on the way, that means you and him are going the same direction. If you don't meet Satan, the enemy, on your way, that means you are all going the same direction. But if you are going the opposite direction, then you are going to meet him. So prepare yourself to meet him. Are we together? We must prepare. We must remember that we have not been called for a picnic, but we have been called to fight the battle of the Lord. And we have an opponent that we are fighting with. And our opponent is strong. But remember also that greater is he that is in us than the he that is in the world. So no matter the strength of the enemy, you can prevail. Praise the name of the Lord. Young men, you can prevail. Young women, you can prevail. Mothers and fathers and husbands and wives, we can prevail. Because David prevailed. And to prevail, you have to fight. You have to wrestle. And that's why we read in the book of Genesis about Jacob. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that these men that we read about and keep talking about, they were men and women of like passions as we are. They were just like us, and they lived on this earth that we are living today. They were just like us. They had their challenges. They had their trials. They had their disappointment. They had way they had wanted things to go, but some of the things did not go the way they wanted to go. And so today, you might not have things going the way you wanted to go, but you can prevail. No matter what, you can prevail. Praise the Lord. So we've known about Jacob, how, you know, he took the birthright from his brother. The name Jacob, we are told, means deceiver, a supplanter. So he took the birthright, his father prophet, he deceived him. He went to Jacob. Before Jacob passed away, Jacob had asked Esau, he said, "You are my firstborn. Come and prepare me something to eat before I die so that I will bless you." And Jacob goes. He said, "Yes." He said, "Are you my son, Esau?" He said, "Yes, I am your son, Esau." Jacob said, Isaac, yeah, that was the father. And Isaac said, "Are you my son, Esau?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Look, the voice is Jacob's voice. There was no doubt about that. He knew his voice." He said, "The voice is Jacob's voice. Anyway, come, let me feel you." He heard him, said, "Wow." Because he put on the cloth of Esau, cover himself up. So we know all this thing about him. And then he went to his uncle, Laban. He knocked him out also. So now he has stayed in his uncle's place for some time. And now God tells him, "Now get back. Go to your place." He had a longing to go back home. And as he was thinking of going back home on his way, he heard that Esau was coming. His brother that he has deceived. His brother was coming. And fear took hold on him. How am I going to face my brother? Because everything that he ever did came back to him. And his brother was coming with an army. He didn't know where they were coming from. Your sins will find you out. So he was troubled, he was scared, he was afraid, he didn't know what to do. And that made him to be separated from everybody. From his family, from his wife, from his troops, from his friends, I mean the children, the whole family. And he has to settle it with God. May God give grace that each and every one of us, not just coming to church and going, or read the messages and hear about this, because Jacob has heard about God. He has had dreams, he has had visions, he has had revelations and difficult and different things. But one day, he came face to face with the Great One. And our coming to church should not just be coming. But there must be a time that each and everyone must come face to face with the Great One. The angel of the Lord, the captain of the host of heaven. And this particular day, he heard about, hey, he saw he's coming. How am I going to face him? And sometimes we are confronted with challenges and difficulties and situations, and you wonder, how am I going to stand it? Right. How am I going to make it? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to go through this? But if you can meet the Lord, amen. Jacob met the Lord. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Hallelujah. All through the night. He wrestled. He prayed his way out. He called upon the name of the Lord. He asked for mercy. He said he wrestled with a man, an angel. Throughout the night until the angel saw that he could not prevail. And Jacob was holding on. Can you imagine that? What a fighter. Brother Branham said he met God in a wrestling match. At the backside of the desert. He held on to the angel. The angel said, let me go. He said, no. You are not going. He said, when the angel was wrestling, they were wrestling together, and the angel could not overcome him. He tore the hollow of his thigh, just touched it, and he had dislocation. And still he was holding on. Right. Brother Brown said, we need more Jacobs. Right. We need more Jacobs. Right. And you can be a Jacob this morning. Amen. You can be a Jacob. To hold on and wrestle. Right. Not just be comfortable in your seat and be a bench warmer. No, Christianity is real. Amen. That each and everyone, we have that experience. Right. Meet him face to face. Amen. The angel now said to Jacob, let me go. He said, you will not go unless you bless me. I will let you go today. When I realized I am in the presence of the Almighty One, the Supreme One. When he came to realize that he was in the presence of supernatural being, the angel of the Lord. He said, you will not go. Unless you bless me. What a desire, what a longing. I will not let you go. What about us? What about you? Jacob said, you will not go. The angel said, let me go. It's breaking. He said, no. The condition is, you have to bless me. I want a blessing. I want something supernatural in my life. I want an experience. I want something that I can talk about. I want something that I can hold on to. I want something that I can hold on to, no matter what. Bless me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Many a times we program ourselves so much that we give God time. Yeah. Hey, yes, I'm here. We have to know that He's the supreme being. He has His program. He has His time. He has the way He does His own things. And we must come on His terms. We must accept His terms. Hallelujah. Jacob wrestled. Jacob fight. He fought on until the angel said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He made that confession. I'm a deceiver. I'm Jacob. I'm not good. The angel said, from this hour, Jacob is no more. You are no more going to be, you are going to be called Israel. A prince with God. You fought and you prevail. You prevail over man and God. You prevail over God. Think about it. A man prevail over God. You can also prevail. The prophet said, he prevailed. He said, Jacob stayed there until something happened that made him walk different. That made him different. A different person. Because that he stayed until that happened. And the Bible said, he held on until he prevailed. How can a man prevail over God? But you can do it. You can do it. A man can prevail over God. A man can prevail. You can prevail. If you fight on, if you press on, if you hold on. The prophet said, one time, there was a man named Ezekiel. Had been told by the prophet, thus saith the Lord, you are going to die. Ezekiel turned his face to the wall. And in desperation, he wept out. Lord, consider me. Have walked before you with a perfect heart. And I need 15 more years. After God had told him that something was going to happen. He was going to die. In desperation, he changed the program of God. Desperation. Through, he wept in desperation. You can also prevail. Every one of us. Sometimes we are looking at us, who are we? But who was Jacob too? He was not better than any of us here. What are you saying? I'm just telling the truth. He was not better than anybody here. He was a sinner. He was a whatever. He deceiver. Everything that you can think of, he was that. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham said, if you see grace, he said, this is grace. He said, if you know the life of Jacob, and the thing that he did and the way he lived, you will only see that this is grace. And if that was grace to him, we also have grace. You can prevail. That no matter what his condition was, and he called upon God, and he wrestled with God, he prevailed over God. Beloved in Christ, you can also prevail. My brothers and sisters, you can also prevail. Every one of us here, you can prevail. Young men, you can prevail. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The prophet said, yes, it was called Jacob. What caused him to recognize or to receive this spiritual name? He prevailed with the angel and wrestled with him. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. The prophet said, hey, you want a spiritual name? Just get a hold of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I am not going to be to leave this tabernacle till you bless me. He said, things will look different when you live here. If you get hold on the Holy Ghost, and you say, Lord, I'm not going to live here till you bless me. Things will look different when you leave. You just as determined as Jacob was, you will go, you will get a blessing. If you are determined as Jacob was, he said you will get a blessing. And the angel touched his thigh. He said, when a man meets God, he's never the same. Jacob was never the same. His way of walking changed. His talking changed. Everything changed about him. His understanding changed. His reason changed. His belief changed. He took fear out of him because he has met God. He didn't think the same way he was thinking before. He didn't walk the same way he was walking before. Everything around him was changed because he met God. And whoever meets God will never be the same. Hey, have you met him? You've been coming to church. Oh yeah, you have been quoting the prophet said this. Oh, the Bible says this. This one said that. Have you met him? The God of the Bible. Has he become real to you? Have you met him? Because anybody that meets him will never ever remain the same. And listen. When a man meets God on his knees, he can stand before anybody. When Jacob met God and his life was changed, he was no more afraid of his brother. He was not afraid of anybody again because he has settled it with God. Nobody can tell him otherwise because at the backside, he has met him. When a man meets God, a woman, a boy, or whoever, whatever, once we meet him in the power of the resurrection. Yes, amen. Apostle Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Yes, amen. When you meet him, you will prevail over everything. Right. Because if a man pray and even think about it, he changed the mind of God. He changed the program of God. If a man can pray and change the prayer program of God, what about the devil? If Almighty God program change because his children were praying, what about the devil? What can he do? Praise the Lord. No matter what his plans are, it can be changed. He might have set a trap. He might want to do this, but brothers and sisters, Jacob prayed and he prevailed, and we can prevail over every enemy. Hey, listen. Don't write yourself off. Our problem, we are just looking at ourselves. Let's look to the Lord. Brother Branham said, the word will always prevail. In the book of, I think, Second Chronicles or somewhere there. And there was a time there was a problem between the children of Israel. Second Chronicles chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 18. And it said, thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. There was a time there was a misunderstanding between Israel and Judah. Because the kingdom was divided. In the days of Rehoboam. Because he did not walk like David. He did not walk like Solomon. And so God said for the sake of David, he would have taken all the kingdom from the house of David. But for David's sake, he said, I will give them too. And so when Rehoboam was the king of Israel after the death of Solomon, and the people came to Rehoboam and they said to him, hey, we have a question. We want you to settle with us. The way your father treated us, are you also going to treat it the same way? So Rehoboam contacted, he sought information, advice from the early ones. And the early people told him, when the young men come to you, tell them where your father maltreated them, or you will not do that. You will, you know, mellow things for them. Okay, I hear. Then he contacted his friends, schoolmates, classmates, and, you know, young men, and then they say, hey, don't mind those people. When they come to you, tell them where your father, your last finger will be thicker than your father's waist. Where your father whipped them with cane or whips, you will use scorpion tail to whip them. So when the people came, he said, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And the kingdom was divided. And so there was fighting between them, here and there. And let me say this to you. Do you realize what caused Israel this pain we are in today? It's because there were division among them. They were fighting among themselves. They were almost about to go to civil war because of misunderstanding. Because how some people, oh, the prime minister wants to do this, opposition said this, want to do this. And in their unguided moment, the enemy came in. The whole world knows about the security of Israel. Sure. But at this time, because of misunderstanding, they became very suspicious of one another. Every move was interpreted. Right. And sometimes we come to a place like that where we begin to interpret every move. Yeah. We conceive ideas. We conceive things about our brothers and about our sisters and oh no, this is why he's doing this. This is why he's doing that. And you know, when you conceive, you will deliver. When the woman conceives, she will give birth. So whatever you conceive is what you will deliver. And Brother Branham said, if anything good will come to us, it must be revealed by the Spirit of God. It must be confirmed by the word of God. And then it must be made manifest by the results. Yeah. So the fruit that comes out will show whether this conception is true or false. Whether it is right or wrong. Because if it is right from God, it will never bring malice. It will never bring hatred. It will never bring bitterness. When a man meets God, it takes away bitterness. Jacob was not bitter. Things have changed. He was ready to meet his brother. He was ready to talk things over. He was ready to humble himself because he has met God.
Amen. May the Lord help us. Let me read this little thing here from the prophet. He said, I've never talked like this to a group of people, but in this locality. And throughout the nations, it is becoming now. If the devil can keep us separated, he's got us shooting at one another. He's got an open target anywhere he wants to shoot. And what is the shooting for? We are shooting one another. See. So he can just sit back and relax. When we begin to shoot one another, accuse one another, force with one another, it's, I mean, we are doing the work of the devil. And then the devil can sit back and relax. Let them kill themselves. The prophet said, let me just give you, if I found grace in your sight through God, you take my word for this, brethren. If you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, when a man has done you wrong and he has absolutely, dastily, I mean, he's done you wrong and you know that he's done you wrong. He's done you evil. Don't mention that. The prophet said what? Don't mention that. He has done you evil. He has done you wrong. He said, don't mention that. How many love the prophet? Amen. The prophet of God said, God is looking up to me to set the church in order, to say these things. I'm looking up to you to live by them. He said, I am just a voice. I was not the one that appeared on the river, Ohio River. He said, I was just near. I'm just a voice. So he's just a voice. This is not his word. This is the word of the Lord. Don't mention it. He said, if you want to be a blessing, and get a blessing, if somebody has done you wrong, whoever it might be, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, the pastor, the churchman, the deacon, whoever it be, the neighbor, whatever, don't mention it. Take him to prayer before God. And don't take it in a way of just a selfish way. Well, I am supposed to do this. But stand with your shoulder to his shoulder and stand in the presence of God our Father, where a prayer should be made in the presence of God. Say, Father, here is my brother, and he's justly and he deserves punishment because he's done me evil. And I don't see why he did it. Then, take note of this. Then, let God go to talking to you. Let God go to talking to you, not to the one that has wronged you. Because sometimes we pray, God, let my brother realize what he has done. Let my sister realize so that he can apologize to me. Let God, when you pray, let God go to talking to you. Not to that man, not to that woman, not to that brother, not to that friend, but let God go talking to you. And listen. And you will see maybe what that man has been through to wrong you, to do what he has done against you. You may see what that man, that brother, that sister, or your husband, your wife, what he might have gone through to do that against you. The devil has twisted him up somewhere.
and cause him to do that. You realize that the devil has twisted him to do that. Lord help us. Listen to what the prophet is saying. Though he's absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you will be feeling sorry for that man. Before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for the one that has offended you. For the one that has done you wrong. For the one that has done you evil. So then where will come? He said, I don't want to talk to that brother again. I don't want to talk to that sister. I don't want to do anything with that fellow. I don't want to go to that church again. Because of this and because of that. If you sincerely pray, before you leave the throne of God, you will be feeling sorry for the one that has wronged you. Because you realize the devil might have twisted him and caused him to speak evil, to lie, to whatever he might have done. The devil has caused it, twisted that fellow. Because sometimes, as I said, you can conceive, misconceive something in your head. The prophet says sometimes you see, oh, and imagine that this brother hate me, that sister hate me. He said that fellow might be innocent. But when you conceive, you give birth to it. He said that fellow might be as innocent can be. Yet you have a mind, you have conceived something. My brothers and sisters, this morning you can prevail over those evil thoughts. Amen. Take the word of the Lord. Rely on the word of the Lord. And you will prevail over evil thoughts. When an evil thought comes, neutralize it with the word of the Lord. When malice, when bitterness, when anger, neutralize it with the word of God. Yes, you'll be feeling sorry for that one. That's right. Though he is absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you will be feeling sorry for that man. You will be sympathizing with that brother. Right. Amen. I'm just quoting the prophet. How many believe the prophet? You'll be sympathizing with that man. Oh, Lord, help us. Do you know one testimony they give about Brother Branham? They say you don't even know the difference between his enemies and his lovers. Because he relates with everybody the same. This is the messenger we are following. Paul said, learn of me. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, don't get quiet on me, please. We are together. Amen. These things that we have been hearing, God has given it to us. The mouthpiece of God, the prophet of God. And remember, he told us, he said he had the opportunity to go beyond the curtain of time. He went to both sides, the region of the lost and the region of the blessed. And when he went beyond the region of the blessed, he said, man, there is no description. There is no words. It is beyond perfection, sublime. He said, no description. Nothing but perfect love. Did he mean what he's saying? Is that what the Spirit means? If that is what the Spirit means, then let us prevail over the flesh. Let us prevail over our thoughts. Brother Bram told us, our greatest enemy is this one here. They could not tell, he had not, his enemies, his critics, people that call him different names and this. He treats them the same. What about us? What about us? The recipient of the message of the hour. The recipient of grace. Grace has come to us. What about us? Are we together? That's why we come to church, to hear from him. You might not be feeling comfortable, but it's okay. After a while, the bitter the medicine, the faster the healing. It will help us if we can take it. If we can die to ourselves, prevail over the flesh, you can also prevail. Listen, I was thinking about David. Saul wanted to kill David. Saul was after David. And here, he was chasing David from church to church, from place to place. David goes to Tucson, he go after him. David go to wherever. One day, Saul was sleeping. They were all out of the house now. They were all out of town. They were all out of state. They were all out somewhere. And here was Saul sleeping. And the soldiers of David told him, Saul was sleeping. With all what he was sleeping, you are flesh and blood. You are flesh and blood. He was sleeping. And the brothers told David, the soldiers said, this is the day the Lord spoke of. He will deliver your enemy into your hands. Now your enemy has been delivered into your hands. And one of the soldiers said, let me just smite him. Just one touch, he will be out. David said, no. I can't touch the Lord's anointed one. So, backslided. So, filled with demon spirit, evil spirit upon him. So, filled with hatred, bitterness, malice. Because he has conceived an idea that David wants to take the throne. That David wants to be the next king. David never thought of that. But what God has allotted for you, nobody can take it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Oh, you are getting quiet, please. Respond. Hallelujah. What we are talking about, me, you, everyone, is under it. It's the message that we believe. It's the prophet that we say we believe. It's the prophet of Malachi 4. It's the messenger to the age. It's God's friend for our age. The friend of the bridegroom. The Eliezer. The Eliezer of God for today. Looking for a bride. Hunting for a bride. A wed bride. David, he took the spear of Saul and he cut part of his rope and he goes back. He says, Saul, look at you. You say, I have something against you. If I had something against you, I would have killed you because you were dead asleep. Let one of the boys come and collect your spear and whatever. He said, even when I cut the piece of your garment, I was condemned. Under the blood of bulls and goats. Another time. Oh, Saul said, oh, David, I'm sorry. Another time, he went back. He followed David again. Jealousy is as cruel as death. He hates David. He didn't like David. Hatred is of the devil. It's not from God. It brings bitterness. Hey. The prophet of God said, it takes you more time to frown your face than to laugh. Right. It takes more effort to something boiling within you. It's easier to smile, to laugh, than to frown your face. And when you think about somebody, oh, that fellow might not even know you are thinking that about him. And you see that fellow and your heart is bumping, pap, pap, you get heart trouble. Why are we punishing ourselves? Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. You can prevail over bitterness, over malice, over what can. You can prevail. anything that is contrary to the word of God, you can prevail. Why are we punishing ourselves? Why are we afflicting ourselves? Praise the Lord. Here was Saul again. David said, no, I can never do this. Then Saul confessed, said, David, you are better than me. You are better. You'll be the king. When you become king, please remember me. Oh, no wonder he was a man after God's own heart. Because Saul said, if a man found his enemy, will he spare his life? Will he let him go? If a man finds his enemy, will he let him go? He said, yeah, man. You could have killed me. You could have done everything. But you spared my life. Until even when he heard that Saul and Jonathan were dead, he wept. He cried. Until somebody who came and told him that, yes, do you hear? Jonathan and Saul, they are dead. I killed. You did that? You did what? You killed the anointed of the Lord? You will die by your own confession. A man after God's own heart. Lord, help us. You will be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to where? To earth again. Listen to this. When you get back to earth again, you will go over to that brother and shake his hand. Shake the hand of who? The one that has wronged you. The one that has offended you. The one that has spoken evil about you. You will go and shake his hands. Lord, help us. These things should not just be theory. Oh, we know this, we know that. This message that has come to us is to reproduce the life of Christ. That's all it's about. That Jesus will be seen in you and me. They saw him in the life of William Branham. Tommy Osborne said, this is the Jesus man. He said, this is the man that lives what we preach. And if the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in us, it will quicken our mortal bodies. And it will be said, like it was said in the beginning, they are Christ-like. Amen. They are Christians in Antioch. Right. They call them Christ-like, Christian, Christ-like. They are like Christ. Amen. We can prevail. Amen. Because we have the word. We have the weapon. We have the material. Yes, sir. We have been given the materials. We have been given the mind of God. We have been given the thought of God. The word will prevail at all times. If you and I receive the word, if the word finds a place, a bedding place, a good ground here, the word will produce itself. Because let every seed bring forth of its kind. That is the law of God. That's what was said in Genesis. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. And if we have the seed that fell at Pentecost, that original seed, original word, original light has been given to us, it will reproduce itself. Lord, help us. Because you know what he has been through. You can't stand with a mortar in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe. No, sir. Even if it is a rank sinner, you can't condemn him. And he said, and what about a brother that has made a mistake? Though I say he's wrong, Sometimes he is accused wrong when he is not wrong. But if he is wrong, well, if we would take him to the throne of God, stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's a mortal, and maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. His destination rests on our attitude towards him. When we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we are everyone guilty and we all need help, one from the other. And the best way to do is to pray.
Right.
Hallelujah. These are instructions given to us. And I've always said, all of us, we need it. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Jesus said, love your enemies. Amen. Love one another. And I've said, oh, my husband is too difficult. Oh, my wife is too difficult. Oh, that brother is too difficult. Oh, that sister is too difficult. If you cannot love that brother as a brother, love the brother as your neighbor. If you cannot love the brother as your neighbor, love him as your enemy. Because he said, love your enemies. Love is love. You can't love your wife as a wife, love her as your neighbor. You can't love her as a neighbor, love her as your enemy. That brother is very complicated. That sister is very complicated. Love that fellow. If you can't love her as a brother or sister, love her as a neighbor. Or as your enemy, because it's the same love.
Amen.
Love is love.
Yes.
And Jesus said, love your enemies.
Amen.
So we have no chance. Love is love. Are we together?
Yes.
Oh, brothers, we can prevail.
Yes.
We can prevail.
Yes.
It's not by your might. It's not by my power. It is by the Holy Ghost. If we yield to the Holy Ghost, if we surrender to him, he will do that work in us.
Amen.
If we realize the hour we are living in, my brother, we shouldn't let any stone stand on our way. Anything between us and the Lord. Look at the hour we are in. Such a treacherous hour. Look at things happening all around us. What is happening in Palestine? In Israel today, nobody can tell what it's going to be like. And that is why there is fear and panic all over the place. Are we together? When you meet the Lord, we'll never be the same. You did have to believe in grace if you read Jacob's life. You did have to see it was election and calling. Because the thing that that fellow did, but yet God has blessed him. God has told him what was going to happen. So he called him. But after he wrestled with this angel, things began to look different. Things begin to look different. Hallelujah. Oh, what a great thing it was now. It was. Now to look, now to know that he had wrestled through. That he was seen, he had seen signs of God. He had had dreams about God. But this was one time he was in the presence of God. In the presence of God. Think of it, friends. In the presence of God, a man is changed. Jacob was changed. Now he could walk with God. Yes, he was a different man than what he was before he met God. He met the Lord. He was changed. He prevailed. He prevailed over the angel Brother Branham, because he had what he was looking for. And the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, ask persistently. Seek persistently. Knock persistently. And it will be opened. So Jacob throughout the night was resting. He didn't let the angel go. And when you meet God, you rest too. It's over. Moses met God at the backside of the desert. He was no more afraid. Things change. His thinking change. When you meet God, your thinking change. You don't think your own thoughts again. You rely on the Lord. What the word of God says is what you take. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That is what the word of God says. He said, he has made us kings and priests. We have dominion. We have authority. Say, we rule over the devil. We rule over the flesh. We rule over sin. This is what the word of God says. Let your thoughts, your thinking, everything, let's bring it under the word of the Lord. Oh, God loves us. Even God told him, hey, sin is at your door. You have to prevail. You overcome it. Brother Branham said, Cain was too proud to humble his pride. Don't let that be said about us. That we have heard the word and we don't do nothing about it. Don't let it be said about us. That even though God has spoken to you, even though God reminded us, even though God told us this and that, we walk away from the presence of the Lord. We've come to church enough. We have come to church enough. We must meet him. Because if you remember, when the dry rod of Aaron was left before the Shekinah glory, it changed. That rod changed. That rod budded, brought leaves, and brought fruits. It changed overnight in the presence of the Lord. If the dry stick will be changed and transformed in that way, what about we, flesh and blood? You can prevail. You can prevail. Don't let any devil tell you that it's possible you can prevail. Jacob prevailed. And when we are in Christ, he conquered and gave us the victory. But Brother Bram told us, he said, God will not take us through a pipeline and pick you over here and say you are prevailed. No, you got to fight it. You got to fight. Because our fathers, they fought. And we have to fight. That is why we come to church and we hear the word of the Lord. We just stand on the word. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Brother Brenner said, you keep confessing. You keep confessing. And God will make your body obey your confession. He said, faith is not, it's not only a conqueror. Faith is an overcomer. He said, what is faith? Yeah. He said, to conquer, it means to beat down, to override, to handcuff, to throw into prison. It means you've whipped out. You are greatest. You are the greatest than the enemy. Yes. So faith overcomes. Faith gives victory. Faith is a conqueror. That means you whip your enemy. You overturn it. You can prevail. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, we have the victory. So, my brothers and my sisters, you can prevail. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, listen, we have not been brought here to fail in this hour. Oh, I love it. Brother Brian said, this last day bride will not fail. Amen. She will not fail. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. We are the bride. We are the elect. We can't fail in this hour. We have not been brought here to fail. We have been brought here to prevail. We have been brought here to overcome. And somehow, some way, we will overcome. Rely upon the word of the Lord. Don't look down upon yourself. I'm too late. No, no, no. Jacob prevailed. And Brother Brown said, a man can prevail. A boy can prevail. A girl can prevail. That is, you have that change that you are looking for. Are you not tired of just coming to church and going back? Are you not tired? You are up. Today you are down. Are you not tired? Brother Branham told us, I'm sorry for saying Brother Branham said, maybe you are tired of hearing, but I'm not tired. Because I am just telling you what he said. I believe, I'm a believer. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. I just love the prophet. I thank God for a prophet. Where would I have been without a prophet? How would I have known this thing without a prophet? I'm grateful to God that God sent a prophet. And I'm thankful to God for the message because of what he's done for me and what he's still doing. He's changing me. He's changing me. Oh, hallelujah. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. By the living word of God, we shall prevail. We shall prevail. We are overcoming daily. Amen. Oh, what a day that will be. We shall prevail by the living word of God. So these are the weapons that have been given to us. Don't let the enemy destroy your confidence in that word. Don't let him do it. But Abraham made mistakes here. Whatever. It's up to him and God. Somebody, Brother Brown read books when he was rich. I said, hey, Jesus even read books. What's the evil about it? Jesus went to the temple and the book was read, given to him, and he read it. Before everybody, he read it. Oh, what he said, somebody asked, I said, hey. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said it. Moses said it already. Moses said, man shall not live by bread alone. After thousands of years, Jesus came and said the same. Daniel was in Babylon. He went with the book of Jeremiah. He said, the prophet said. Right. So what are you talking about? We shall prevail. Amen. Brother Branham said, I'm closing now. To overcome is to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. If you can overcome, you have to recognize. Oh, it's not my brother doing that. It's not my sister. It's not my wife. It's not my husband. It's just the devil. Lord, fill my heart with your love. So that you will not go against your brother or your sister, but you go against the devil. He is our common enemy. Oh, brothers, we can prevail. And I said this morning, may God's grace, may God's anointing that was upon David, and he prevailed over Goliath. The anointing that was upon Daniel, and he prevailed. Oh, yes, and all the rest of our brothers. Mordecai refused to bow. Refused to compromise. They threatened his life, but he prevailed. Esther, she prevailed. This is my day. This is your day. This is your time. God, this morning, is depending on you. Young men, young women, is depending on us. That this bride will not fail me. He said, my people don't fail me. My children don't fail me. Brother Branham said, God has no hands but your hands. No legs but your eyes. No eyes but your eyes. Look, you can't fail. You have to prevail. You have to fight. You have to know where you are and fight. Confess the word. Keep confessing. Keep believing. And Brother Branham said, by the grace of God, this body will obey that confession. God bless you. Brother.